Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Welcome back into the 11 o'clock hour. This is Issel and Louis on ESPN 680 105.7. And this hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030, or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
Brush your teeth, people, and listen to some baseball as well. Louisville WKU today, 450 pregame with Sean Moth on 93.9 The Villain on the app, 5 o'clock first pitch. They are playing the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky, where producer Lee played college soccer, we learned this morning. How about that? All right, we ready for a raise?
I thought he played football.
All right, it's Raising Cane's read time. Play the music.
All right.
Thanks to the Raising Cane's team for bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios today. Game plan ahead with the Raising Cane's mobile app or by ordering at RaisingCane's.com, and you'll be able to snag the perfect game time watched meal. Don't call a timeout. Make the right play and score some hot, fresh, hand-battered chicken fingers from Raising Cane's. One love. Multiple area locations. Order online at RaisingCane's.com. I mean, vanilla lattes, chicken fingers. I mean, Avery's living the life today, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, Tuesdays are my favorite day.
You went by the coffee shop?
I do every Tuesday. Uh-huh. It's part of our arrangement, so there you go. Nice people over there, and Maura is the woman who works on Tuesday mornings. And I have – it's interesting now that I'm doing this that I've been able to partner with people that I've known in the community. I've probably known Maura for 10 years. I have to have been going to Red Hot for 10 years to get coffee.
Really?
Yeah, easy. Yes.
Oh, I thought that was just an off-the-wall deal.
No. I tried to – this is a very famous Drew Diener line. Radio is about helping your friends, hurting your enemies. And I have tried to help as many friends as I can once we got this once we got this little thing going. So, texture pointing out, Mike Anderson is suing St. John's for $11 million. I thought they paid his buyout, but apparently they said no. Those sorts of things. By the way, we are...
That's why they have confession, Louis.
So something that you and I have been very vocal about on this show. Louis, it's coming down on the text line. Louis, 437-9680 UPS jobs. Louis, if you talk to your wife the way you read that ad, I can't believe you don't have 8 kids.
you know, I wasn't going to go there, but since the texter led us in this direction, I was going to ask if earlier you said that you had something to do with your wife this morning.
Oh, poor Avery.
I cannot.
So you still want to be a producer, huh, girl?
I think about it sometimes.
Oh, man. All right. So you, something you and I have talked about a lot is how much we appreciate the fact that there is a full complement of sports writers and guys at the Herald Leader, right? Covering UK. They give us tons of content. They come on the show. You know, obviously we have a good, you know, working relationship with Ben Roberts, who we think does a really good job. And we've kind of lamented what's happened at the Courier-Journal downtown. So I linked this article here because there is someone in this market who's actually doing these articles and keeping you updated on these things. And it's at Fan Nation, which is owned by Sports Illustrated. His name is Matt McGavick. He's actually been on air here a couple of times. And I think, Dan, going forward, he's going to be a guy that we're going to start leaning on for U of L stuff.
Okay.
But I wanted to put that out there because, for me, they don't. I don't mind paying for the Herald Leader because we get, what, 5-6 articles a day?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's constantly updated with new, you know, information, new stuff, and you don't get that level of content at the Courier-Journal, so I'm not going to...
Well, the problem is, Louie, with the newspaper business, you know, we joke about, you can tell the people in our complex here that are over 80 years old because they have a newspaper on their front porch. And newspapers, the relevancy. I mean, I remember when my father, there was an afternoon newspaper.
I can't believe you're making fun of people in assisted living, Dan. I mean, I just, wow.
And I can remember my father coming home from work, opening a beer, sitting at the kitchen table and reading news that was basically 2 days old.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that's gone away.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're getting the newspaper online, you might as well forget about it because – and so and what I'm getting to is they have fewer resources. And so they have to decide, each paper has to decide where they're going to spend those resources that drives people – to their paper.
Right.
The Herald Leader has chosen to spend those resources on the sports page, which I think is a really good thing given the interest in UK athletics in Lexington.
Sure.
I don't know where the Courier-Journal is spending their resources, but it obviously isn't on the sports page.
Avery, can you open up the phone lines? Someone's trying to call the text line, which means that they're getting a busy signal on our lines here. Thank you very much. There you go. Do not call 437-9680. Call 267-9680 because I do enjoy watching people bother Avery. So do that. So this essentially goes through a couple of different things. If you are new to the show, thanks for hanging out. This is Issel and Louie. We'll take you up until noon. Bobby V got you after us. And then, of course, first replay, 3 o'clock. 7 to 6, we go local here on 680-1057 every weekday. You and I, Dan and I, one of our fundamental disagreements this year was over how to evaluate Kenny Payne's job as a coach and the 4-28 season that happened. We are both of the opinion that 4-28 is obviously unacceptable. But how it came about and what percentage was coaching and how much you can actually examine the coaching is a point of contention between, I should say contention, point of disagreement between us. But one thing we do agree on is that this year, he's got to have a much better roster and do a much better job in the coming season.
No question.
And I think, Dan, one of the interesting things about how well, or at least how well rated the players are that are arriving in the campus. There's a first phone call right away. In your face, Avery. That I think expectations, remember how there started this chatter of going 500, Dan?
Yeah.
I think, though, if you start to over and over, it's five-star and it's high-level guy, Sky Clark, it's, you know, Trenton Flowers, it's Dennis Evans. You know, four stars are coming in on the freshman lane with Caleb Glenn, Curtis Williams Jr. You get Caron Davis out of the JUCO ranks, who they're hoping is an LLS type quality player, I should say, quality of LLS. I don't know that 500 should be the bar anymore. I think that pushing for the NCAA tournament should be the bar. And that's what's really interesting here for me is that just by their own, by getting good guys to commit to this place, they've changed their own expectations. And I think that's a positive. But it also, well, it comes with new expectations too.
Yeah, but I would say, and you know, you never know how kids are going to
100%
improve from 1 year to the next.
And the fit always is hard to predict as well.
Yeah. This front line – And I wouldn't know Dennis Evans if he walked into here.
Yep.
I do know Huntley Hatfield. I do know J.J. Traynor. And I do know Emmanuel Okorafor.
Okorafor, yep.
That front line is not getting you to the NCAA
tournament. Yeah.
It's just not.
Could someone push back, Dan, and because we talked about it yesterday, who's out of the tournament already? Edie's out of the tournament. TJD's out of the tournament. Bacot didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, the big guys didn't advance in the tournament. Could the case be made? I'm just asking. That really they need to concentrate on the backcourt. It's the guards that are going to drive them to the tournament. I'm just asking.
I suppose.
Okay.
To me, looking at this potential roster, there's a huge, huge, huge key to all of this, and that is if L. Ellis comes back.
Yeah, right. Yep.
I mean, if L. Ellis, if you take L. Ellis off of this roster, I can't get excited about it.
Yeah, especially.
They got a point guard from Illinois, and I laughed out loud when I read the story because they said that Sky Clark has to cut down on his turnovers. Man, he'll fit right in with this.
You're not wrong.
He'll fit right in with this team if he needs to cut down on his turnovers. But, you can't – in my mind, with the work they have to do, Louie, you can't count on freshmen, especially a freshman that is coming in
– Reclassification.
Early. Reclassifying.
Yep.
This is a nice start, but if this is the finished product, I can't get too excited about that.
Yeah, what's interesting for me at least is – they got four guys listed in the guard position. I would still try to go get two more guards in this group because I do think you're going to have to play the freshman in Caleb Glenn and Curtis Williams Jr. and hope that one of them is good and then hope that Traynor keeps developing. I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know if we're already there. But I'm with you, especially if some of the reports are true, and this is where we have to rely on other people for information because I'm not going to go back and watch a bunch of Dennis Evans tape. If he's a project, and Emmanuel Okorafor is a project, and we've seen what BHH is, which is a project, then you're right. The tallest men on this team are not going to be the ones that lead them to the NCAA tournament. You're absolutely right. But if Sky Clark is okay, if he's above average as a point guard, you know, if L. Ellis is back and doesn't have the burden that he had to carry this year of
bingo
point guard and
100%
defending as a point guard. It's such a different life, right? I mean, it's just the energy expense on that. And then the expectation of shooting on after that is.
Yeah. That's why I said the huge question on here is if he comes back or not.
Right. And so, but if you can have that where you're above average in the backcourt and you have a guy like L. Ellis who can play in his more natural position, then, you know, maybe it's that Mike James develops a little bit more. And then again, like I said, one of those freshmen is good enough. I still think you got to go get one or two, maybe three more guys that can fill out the roster that make it even better than it is. And they have someone coming up to visit this weekend. He's a 2024 guy. And it was interesting this morning because Blank brought it up and Dina was like, okay, well, tell me about the free agents. And I remember thinking, you know, something that you and I have talked about. I remember thinking, oh, good. When Blank said out first, I thought, oh, good. They're already thinking about 24 as well. They're working on both because that's I think you need to go do both. And then Diener was like, transfer portal. And I am interested going forward if how many people shift to a model where the top 50 to 100 teams are purely transfer portal and the bottom 250 are recruiting the freshmen.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And then if the freshmen turn out, then you can go get them out of the transfer
That's
portal.
That's exactly right.
You don't have to have a farm system where you're developing these kids and, you know, maybe they come on and maybe they don't. Now, you've got, you know, Kentucky's the exact opposite. They've got four kids coming in that are projected to be first-round draft picks in the NBA the following year. So, I mean, those kids you can kind of count on, you know, more than, you know, four-star prospects who could turn out, but, you know, probably won't.
Reports, too, that Louisville is trying to reach out to grad transfer Charles Pride, who played at Bryant, and to a transfer from Temple named Khalif Battle. I think that the Bryant transfer is he a guard? Oh my gosh!
What do they have? I think with this roster that's been presented here, they still have two more scholarships. Is that right?
Yeah, and you know the interesting thing too in the NIL era is how many guys can you just give enough NIL money to that they just pay their tuition?
Yeah,
I start to wonder about that too, because you know who he doesn't mention on here is Hersey Miller, who was a scholarship player this year, whose father was the rapper Master P. He's still Master P, but you know whatever. And he's not listed on here, so obviously there's some kind of, you know, walk on deal or whatever it might be with him, because I don't think he's leaving the market. Another guard in Khalif Battle, who's at Temple. And, you know, what's interesting, a couple of years ago, I used to kind of turn my nose at getting guys from Temple, but it has been very obvious. I mean, Noel for Kansas State came out of Little Rock.
Yeah, you can't turn your nose on anybody anymore.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are just the diamonds in the rough are literally everywhere. And so, you know, Tyson Walker, who is an absolute murderer in the best way for Michigan State, started his career at Northeastern. I mean, it's just, you know, and that, you know, he transfers in. He's, you know, an 18-point scorer at Northeastern. He drops back to 8 last year. He's up near 15 a game for Michigan State this year. So, you know, those guys at those lower levels, once they are able to make the adjustment. And, look, I know he had a bad last game. But Antonio Reeves proved that he was, you know, he was worthy of playing in a Kentucky uniform in several games, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so
without him, they would have lost another 2-3 games, obviously.
I think that's pretty right. And so, it's an interesting mix in how they have to kind of balance these things, and then you have to hope that the pieces fit too, right? And so it's hard to project from here, but I think early returns are at least that there's a good set of momentum that guys still want to come play at Louisville. And after 4-28, I think there should have been a legitimate concern that they may not have had that.
So, yeah, but just like a lot of things,
I don't think
that makes a whole lot of difference anymore. I mean, in fact, people might look and say 4-28.
Great, I'll start.
I'm going to get all kinds of play time there. Yep. So, you know, like everything else, that I think that's changed in college basketball too.
There you go. All right, Issel and Louie, we're taking you up until the V show. Bobby V back in the saddle today. Good to see.
Good.
Back from his surgery.
Great. That is great.
And of course, for first replay 3-6 here on ESPN 680 105.7. We'll have True Crime Tuesday in about 10 minutes. Presented by our friends at Red Hot Roasters, who I talked about. The other thing, when you go there every Tuesday, it's now, do you want the usual?
And they know who you are.
Oh, yeah. Look. Yeah. I'm a distinctive person. And then but she's figured out I do like the iced coffee. She figured it out. Me and Scott, right?
Yeah, can't go there. Can't go there.
All right, Mel Kiper, 4 QBs in the top 5. We kind of glossed over it early on, just the importance of the position. I mean, at what point, how much credit does Kentucky get for putting Will Levis in the top 5 of the NFL draft?
I mean, you know, he's had a lot of things. Kiper has been on him
big time
since last year. And don't think that doesn't matter. Don't think that these guys in these war rooms aren't looking at what Mel Kiper's mock draft is. I mean, it sounds foolish with all the resources that they put into the scouting, but I guarantee you every general manager in the NFL knows what Mel's first round mock draft looks like. And again, you know, there's if you have – I mean, that position is so – you look at the teams in the playoffs, Louie, and they're the teams that have the best quarterbacks.
Period, yes.
I mean, it's that simple.
Yep.
Now, you need some – as they proved in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow's first year, you need some people around them, but you don't need great players around them if you've got a really good quarterback. And so
I mean, we make fun of him, but Aaron Rodgers hasn't had a receiver. They haven't drafted a receiver earlier than the fourth round since he's been there.
No.
I mean, it
no,
just, yeah, yeah. It just, yeah, it's its
own. Yeah. Yeah. I think that three for Will Levis is awfully high, but I might be wrong. And the Indianapolis Colts have tried to put a Band-Aid on that position for like the last 3 years. I mean, they took the guy out of San Diego when his career was over. And, you know, then they've tried to get these veteran quarterbacks to fill that position the last 3 years, and it just hasn't worked out. So, you know, I guess you take a shot. I think that Anthony Richardson at five.
It's really interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he ran a fast 4.40. And you know, did a nice broad jump and a nice high jump. What that has to do with playing quarterback, I don't know.
Sure.
But you know, it just proves that's how important that position is, and you've got to take a shot that one of these guys will develop into the next Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrows or somebody of that quality.
Do you think? I'm gagging for his name, Dan. Devin, who's coming in as quarterback next year.
At Kentucky?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Devin Leary, excuse me. I have no idea.
I'm glad somebody else gagged for a name on this show.
There's only one other person to do it. So the only interesting thing to me as far as Levis getting drafted and then Leary coming in this year is if Stoops can set up if you transfer here and play here, you'll get drafted pipeline of quarterbacks for Kentucky football. That would be radically different than what happened with him the first 8-9 years of his tenure there.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And that's a huge positive.
That's a great point. And now he's got Cone back there, right?
To help him run that position. It's an opportunity for them that I didn't think was going to be something that I would see happen at Kentucky football, for sure. And so, no, kudos for that, because I do think, you know, unlike, you know, like an Allen in Buffalo who played at Wyoming, I don't think a bunch of guys are going to run to Wyoming to play quarterback, right?
No. But have you ever been to Laramie?
I have not been to Laramie.
Yeah, well, don't go out of your way.
But with Kentucky, it's different, right? I mean, you know, playing in the SEC, being on TV, NIL money in Lexington, et cetera, eating bananas with the peels on, putting mayonnaise in your coffee. You can do all those things, right? And so I do think, without any of the added sarcasm, that would change their program going forward, especially if they can convince guys. I mean, Devin Lear's a nice quarterback, man.
For sure.
He's a nice quarterback. And if you can keep getting guys like that, you're more likely to have success than not if you can keep that kind of thing.
You're right, Louie, because college football mirrors the NFL.
No question.
And so if you've got a really good quarterback, you can be competitive. I mean, I don't know that they'll get quarterbacks where they're going to be competitive with Alabama and Georgia.
Sure.
But stranger things have happened.
No, but
did you say?
But it's actually, hey, you know what we talk about? I talk about expectations for Kentucky basketball. One of the best things about being a Kentucky football fan would be that 9-win seasons are actually fun.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? They're actually fun, and they're okay. You know, winning 75% of your games in basketball, not fun, not okay. So go ahead. Did I see what?
Oh, did you see that Coach Saban took a shot at Oates?
No, how did I miss
this? Oh, this is great. This is great. So, evidently, a defensive back for Alabama was arrested someplace in Florida with marijuana with intent to sell.
Okay.
And so he was immediately suspended. And Coach Saban said, you know, he's off the team until we find out more about the facts, but he's gone. And he said, you know, there's no such thing. You have to make the correct decisions. He said there's no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, which is exactly what Oates said about Miller. So it looks like Kentucky isn't the only place where there might be a little friction between the basketball coach and the football coach.
Unshocking that would come out of Nick Saban's mouth, yeah.
That was great.
Texter asking, you know, do quarterbacks get tested like that at the combine because a lot of them will be running for their life? I think it's more, it's not a bad text, but I think it's more just that the movement in the pocket now is so important in the game. And frankly,
the athleticism.
And quarterbacks run the ball more than they used to. They just do. It's part of the new system for a lot of quarterbacks. The Eagles just got to the Super Bowl playing that way. So, and Lamar Jackson's one of those guys. I mean, there are a lot of examples of quarterbacks who use their legs, hopefully in smart ways to get yards as well. And so I think it's just I think that, you know, they've been doing it for a while. I understand, but you know, if a guy ran a sub 5:40. At quarterback, they're like, okay, he can at least move. But no, I think those numbers matter. I think that's why you see a guy like Richardson moving up the board, because that's just part of the game now, is to have the mobility of a quarterback that can do, you know, the run-pass option sort of thing that they're running. Because, you know, some things trickle up, some things trickle down, and that's one of the things that trickle down.
Speaking of that, though, sure. would you be hesitant I know he has a great record. I know he has great stats. But what you just said with running the ball, and would you be hesitant to draft a quarterback that's 5'10" and weighs 200 pounds?
I would be, yes.
I
think that's totally reasonable, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Murray in Arizona, and I think that's who you would compare Bryce Young to. In previous drafts.
Yeah, okay.
And that hadn't worked out too well. And some people have him going number one to the Panthers.
I think Bryce Young is a little more focused on football than the guys in the desert.
Yeah, he was a baseball player too, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's a gamer, and he, you know, these kinds of things, where to the point that it's a massive part of his life to be playing video games rather than studying film.
Yeah, it's not a good thing when you pay a guy $200 million and have to put in the contract that he works a little harder.
Yeah, I think Bryce Young doesn't have many of those catchers.
I got you.
All right, other side, we will do some True Crime Tuesday. Reminder, second hour of the show, believe it or not, brought to you by people who encourage you to brush your teeth, Delta Dental, DeltaDentalKY.com. If you're a dentist, check out the Dentist Tools tab at the top of the webpage. Expand your practice with our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky, offering plans for individuals, for families, and for employees, nationwide network of dentists, and of course, those vision plans through VSP, through Delta Vision as well. DeltaDentalKY.com for all that information. We disappear. We do it next.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment here on a Tuesday. Issel and Louis taking you up until Bobby V at noon. Are we doing press conference stuff at noon, Averdill? Is that what I've been told here?
Yes, we are. We will be airing the Patino press conference.
How about that? After that, today, of course, Louisville WKU baseball around 5
that
o'clock.
That is so sad.
93.9 The Villain ESPN.
That Louisville. Is so sad. That the station for the Louisville Cardinals are going to air a press conference for a guy that they fired and had to vacate a national championship banner. That's just pitiful.
We are your home exclusively for radio play-by-play in Louisville, including the Final Four and the national championship. We're back at it Thursday and Friday. Sweet 16 coverage starts at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 680 and on 105.7. If you're driving around, we have you covered all weekend, but we do want to thank our friends at Red Hot Roasters and redhotroasters.com. Buy two cans, get the shipping for free on the website, corner of Lexington and Payne, for the drive-thru. I think one of the very best coffee stops in the city of Louisville. And, of course, if you're out at the fairgrounds, they are the official coffee supplier there in over 150 Kroger stores as well. Check them out in the Kentucky Proud section of your local Kroger store here in Louisville, redhotroasters.com. It's time for True Crime Tuesday, and I'll be honest, didn't read through this one. Go.
Well, this one's quite interesting, so that's kind of sad. All right, so...
I'm going to listen to you.
I know. So, Teresa Ann Beer. I believe that's how you say her name. Maybe it's Beyer.
No, that's Beer.
Okay, cool. That's what I thought.
That's literally the Dutch word for beer.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was thinking that because, like, Beale spelled the same way, but with an L. All right, so she disappeared.
Yes.
In 1987, in June, in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. So she didn't have the best childhood. Her parents were abusive, so the system, they got her out of the house with her sister.
Yep.
They moved her around, and then her parents, they divorced, and her father filed for custody. And then she wound up being placed with her uncle. Not a great idea, because he was also abusive.
Uh-huh.
So, not a great life.
Yep.
So, while she was living with her uncle, she had this older neighbor, 43 years old. He's a meth addict. His name is Russell Welch. Yeah. He's a meth head. So, he offers to her uncle, hey, why don't I go take Teresa camping?
He's 43.
She's 16.
Yeah, no big deal. Yeah.
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 I'm going to go take her camping. We're going to go look for Bigfoot. Yeah, it's great. And her uncle's like, oh, well, he's just a meth addict and over twice her age. It's fine. Yeah.
Shame the uncle. Do it. Do
yes.
it.
Shame on you.
There it is.
Like, you were a bad uncle, and then you put her in a bad situation. You idiot.
Tuesday moron. Keep going.
Yeah, so June 1st, 1987.
Yep.
Russell had told her uncle that he's going to bring her to school and that morning, and he's like, okay, cool. She never makes it to school, and he finds out because they give her a phone call. He doesn't report it to police until 9:30 p.m. She didn't have the best school record. I mean, she didn't have the best upbringing, so kind of makes sense.
Sure.
So maybe, I guess 9:30-ish is roughly when she would be home. Like, normally if she goes, off and about. So maybe,
maybe
that's
school,
why
then she
right.
has a job after school or something.
Yeah,
right.
Who knows?
Right.
So maybe that's why he waited. I'm not too mad about that. But then Russell would return home from this camping trip without Teresa and blame it on Bigfoot. Yeah, that's what we do now, apparently, or in this 80s.
So is Russell just code word for James Striebel?
I don't know. Maybe.
Keep going.
So,
a little Bigfoot on a Tuesday.
Yes.
You have never seen Striebel and Russell at the same time.
You're not wrong.
Or Bigfoot.
Very true. So, law enforcement, they start looking into Russell, and his story keeps on changing.
Mm.
He says that he dropped Teresa off at school, but they know this isn't the case because they have documentation of the phone call from the school to her uncle. So they're like, no, you didn't. Stop lying. And then he's like, oh, I did take her camping, but then she ran off with this young girl, or like this young woman, and... like, she never came back, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, then why wouldn't you say that if that was the case?
Yeah.
He then changes it a third time and said she had gone off with other campers and just disappeared.
Okay.
Okay, so what is it, you know? The cops, they were getting frustrated, obviously. So they start going to his family and friends. His daughter says that he saw her with a young woman that morning, most likely Teresa. So good for the daughter. We like the daughter.
Text her, Avery, just go ahead and tell the uncle and meth head to sit down.
Yeah, they do need to sit down.
Text her, sounds like one of the uncles that Big Rig thinks runs girls' IG accounts. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, keep going.
Moving on. So, one of Russell's friends...
satanic cult part is great.
Yes. Yeah. One of his friends says that she was taken by a satanic cult and is being held in the Sierra Nevadas.
Okay.
How would you know this?
I didn't know Bigfoot was in a satanic cult. I'm learning things. Keep going.
Exactly. Yeah. Apparently.
I had no idea.
So then, eventually, after these two stories from his daughter and his friend... he then goes on to the story that Bigfoot took her. Where's the proof? Like, And he goes and he shows law enforcement to where he says that she was taken.
Okay.
But there's no evidence, no clothing, no footprints. And, well, it's Bigfoot, so you would think there would be a giant foot. No blood, no nothing.
Not a giant foot, a Bigfoot.
Yeah, that too. Right, yeah. So then he shows them supposedly where they were camping. And it's set up kind of weird. Mm-hmm. There's a large burned area about 3.5 feet by 8 feet. And she's tiny, 110 pounds, 5'5". So she could easily fit in that. Like, she's tiny.
Yeah.
There were blankets hung in an odd formation to use as a backdrop. And a camera with, clothing that was most likely from her. And a camera with pictures of Russell playing guitar and some pictures of Teresa. So they know that was his stuff. However, this campsite was a setup. Kind of odd. Their actual campsite was about 20 miles away at Ghost Canyon. Very spooky name. Love it. And at that campsite, they found one of Russell's shirts. Blue, has a pocket, and in the pocket has drugs because, well, he's a druggie.
Indeed.
So later on that month, Russell gets arrested for child stealing.
Okay.
And he's charged with that crime.
Okay.
It's very similar to kidnapping, but child stealing is more geared towards the parent or the legal guardian. So not good. I mean, kidnapping's not good either. But, you know, that's what they do. And so eventually he was released and then rearrested and held at a higher bail. So good on the rearrest. So 3 days before the trial in September, he's released from prison because the authorities do not believe they have enough evidence to have him charged and convicted for her murder.
For murder, right.
Yeah, because there's no body. You can't. It's very hard to say that someone was murdered without a body. I don't know why they didn't just hold him and try him for child stealing.
Right.
But
Texter, the meth head needs Ricky P's lawyer so he can feel completely exonerated. Keep going.
So they release him because they know if her body is found later on that they can't retry him if he's acquitted.
Correct, right.
Yeah. Very
Double
sad.
Jeopardy there, yeah, right.
Yeah, however, they could charge him and get him found guilty on the child stealing and then charge him with the murder if they found her body. They did not do that, so shame on that jurisdiction for doing that. Like,
a little shame on
the
jurisdiction. Jurisdiction
what?
Shame, let's go!
What are you doing?
It's Tuesday!
He obviously did something. So Teresa, she still hasn't been found to this day. Okay. Nobody else has ever been held accountable. Mm. So very sad. And there's three theories.
Bigfoot.
He clearly took her, you know? It was totally Bigfoot. And then Russell killing Teresa makes the most sense. That is my theory.
Okay.
And then this third theory is the speed freak killers killed Teresa. Mm. They were basically, obviously, they're on drugs. And it was Lauren Herzog and Wesley Sherman Tyne. They were serial killers in that area. So, yeah, they were a possibility. But I'm going with Russell. Because you don't just keep changing your story if you're innocent.
All right, well, there you go.
Good job, Avery.
Here we go.
Thanks.
Texter, man. I like the Texters understand what we're trying to do now with this segment. That's good. I appreciate it. Oh, man. Shame on a jurisdiction is my favorite part.
Did someone really say that?
You!
Oh, yeah, I did say that. I thought you were talking about a Texter saying
no,
that.
You nailed it. It's great. It's awesome. Shame on a jurisdiction.
Well, they let him go!
I'm not disagreeing. It's just funny to lay shame on an entire jurisdiction. So there you go.
They were dumb. They were all dumb. Nobody decided to hold him for child stealing.
There you go. All right. Reminder to Raising Cane's Tuesday, RaisingCane's.com. But if you do need a cup of coffee, our friends over at Red Hot Roasters, RedHotRoasters.com. Go check out Sandra and all the good folks over there. If you are out at the fairgrounds, they are supplying all the coffee out there and, of course, in over 150 Kroger locations as well. I have no idea how they roast all of the coffee in the tiny little spot that they have to supply all the Krogers, but they get it done. Lexington and Payne is the drive-through. Cannot recommend it enough. RedHotRoasters.com. All right.
Louis, I did during True Crime Tuesday. I did check, and WVLK
okay.
in Lexington did carry the press conference when Tubby Smith was hired by Minnesota. So I just want to throw that out there. I mean, how far back are we living, Louisville? Go ahead.
No, you should go ahead. I think this is a good take, and if you feel strongly about it, you should give the take. I think you're right.
I mean, what are we doing? Why do we even care? We can't hang a banner that we won the national championship because of this man, and we're going to carry his press conference when he's hired by another school? I don't get it. I don't get it. Never mind. Go on.
All right. He's Dan Issel. I'm Louis Rabeau, hanging out with you. About 10 more minutes here. On Issel and Louis taking you up until noon. Bobby V's got you after us. Back in the saddle there. But before Bobby V jumps back in, I will introduce the press conference that we are carrying for Rick Pitino. Make sure that we're getting on with that. The only thing you and I haven't talked about on this show sheet, Dan.
I'm going to get on the app and listen to it.
Okay.
He said with his tongue firmly implanted in his cheek.
Go back and listen to old episodes of Soccer City instead, Dan.
Yeah, what I am going to do is call my friend who went to St. John's, let him listen to it. He'll get a kick out of that.
We went through it yesterday, what the remaining seeds were in the NCAA tournament, and 9 of the 16 remaining seeds are fives or lower. Right, 5-5-4-3-2-1.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously there are the Princetons, and then, you know, Michigan State's a 7, for example. Arkansas is an 8.
FAU
is a 9. And I think that's – does that round everybody out? Just want to make sure. Yep, okay. So those are the ones that are on the outside. So I think – is it fair to say, Dan, that Arkansas has better than 8-seed talent?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And that Tom Izzo was
much better, much better. And they, you know, they had a lot of injury problems. Their number one recruit didn't play till over halfway during the season. But no, Arkansas may be as talented as anybody in the SEC.
Right.
Would you go that far, Lou?
Absolutely, I would.
Yeah.
The top-end talent at Alabama might be a little better, but, man, Arkansas's got dudes for sure. So that I asked that to say, you know, and then Izzo's better than a 7-seed coach, right?
Yeah.
But
I don't think you could have said coming in that they deserve to be higher than a 7-seed.
No, I think they're a 7-seed this year for sure. Like, yeah. I think their seed line is totally appropriate. But what I'm saying is, we're at a point where if those, you know, we got those 9 teams that are 5 and lower, and then you've got 2 that are on the outside that have a Hall of Fame coach and then NBA talent, we've actually got 11 teams that are teams we would have expected to be there, essentially. And so of these matchups, and it's interesting, too, because how the guys are picking these games. So it's Jeff Borzello, John Gazaway, and Myron Metcalf up in Indianapolis. Or up in Minneapolis, excuse me. Indianapolis, good Lord. Trying to predict these games
they
going
were
forward.
Chalky. They were pretty chalky with their picks.
Yeah, so...
I think the only one I saw that didn't have the higher of the 2 seeds winning was one of them had Xavier beating Texas.
Right.
Other than that, I thought they were all pretty chalk.
Yeah, and so, for example... And all the games, by the way, they think are going to be really close, except for Tennessee FAU by Borzello and I guess, the other 2 have as a 5-point game. 2 of them picked K-State over Michigan State, for example. All of them picked UConn over Arkansas. Has UConn become the buzz team in this tournament? Just because we're not talking about Alabama, which is fascinating.
Yeah,
Houston is showing that they are absolutely a number one seed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you don't buzz about 1 seeds, right? You buzz about teams that are lower than that. And UConn's one of those teams as a 4 seed.
And you know, I guess UConn is a 4 and St. Mary's was a 5.
Right.
So I guess that was a nice win. I mean, UConn beat Iona in the first round. So, yeah, I think UConn, I think there's several. I think people are missing out on UCLA, although I don't think UCLA is good enough to win the national championship. Mm. I think they're good enough to get to the Final Four.
I think you're totally right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
and
agree.
So, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. As many upsets as there were in the first two rounds, I think it gets pretty predictable. At least it's pretty predictable in the Sweet 16.
Most likely winner of the higher remaining seeds, Dan. Michigan State at 7, Arkansas at 8, or Florida Atlantic at 9. Florida Atlantic, of course, has Tennessee, Arkansas, UConn, Michigan State, Kansas State.
Yeah, I'd say Arkansas.
Okay.
I would say Arkansas because of what we just mentioned, the talent that Arkansas has. If Musselman doesn't get in the way, I think they've got a shot to beat UConn.
And you think Tennessee's rolling right now, right?
Yeah. I
know you don't want to think that way, but...
No. It hurts me. It hurts me. But, no, I thought their game plan for Duke was extraordinary. Yeah. And you know, it's... at some point, Louis, it's going to have to come down to putting the ball in the basket. And I don't know if Tennessee can do that consistently enough to go a lot farther. But, I mean, they got a real break in FAU coming out of the other half of that bracket. So, you know, and then I mean, Tennessee's got a shot to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, so that side of the bracket is in New York. That's Tennessee, FAU, Michigan State, and Kansas State. Such a fascinating, you know, just kind of fell apart that way. But, yeah, no, I think most interested in all of these games, I think that Gonzaga-UCLA game is going to be amazing.
I do, too.
I think that's going to be a fun
game. I do, too. And I give Gonzaga a puncher's chance in that game. I really do.
Yeah. More than that. Oh, my goodness, yes.
I don't know what the spread's going to be, and the three people we just referenced, I think they all picked UCLA.
They did, yeah.
That's the way it goes. All right, well, we're out of here. This has been Issel and Louis, ESPN 680 105.7. We'll be back again tomorrow morning at 10. We hope that you are too. Stay tuned for that all-impressive Rick Pitino press conference. See you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it,"
but then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist,"
or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.